every time the sun came up. I wear my shades in style, my tinted view appealed to me. Even more importantly, the world outside could never see the hurt behind the smile. And I knew in my mind I was walking blind, trying desperately to find a way.
Welcome to Light. L-I-G-H-T means living in God's hands today. True stories about how God works in people's lives. In today's story, God reaches across time and space to answer a mother's prayer for the healing of her daughter.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Grammy. Happy birthday to you.
There are over 60 candles on this cake. Who wants to help me?
I do, Grammy.
Oh, look at that. Louisa wants to help you, Mother.
All right, Louisa, dear. But this is a big cake, and we have to blow out 65 candles. You think we can do it?
Sure.
It is very big, Gram.
Hope so, dear. Has to feed 3 generations.
I want a cake this big for my birthday, Mommy.
Oh, boy. We'll see what we can do next year, Lulu. Won't we, honey?
You bet, Lulu. There's nothing we can do about the fact that this cake only has 6 candles on it. You better help Grammy blow those out, okay?
Ready, Louisa?
Ready, Grammy.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah. Good work.
You want to cut it, Mother?
No, darling, not really.
Shall I?
Thank you, Marina. I know you have your hands full with the kids.
I'll help you, sweetheart.
Thank you, Ben.
Kids, come on out on the porch, and we'll give everybody a great big piece.
Oh,
oh
boy, who gets the icing?
Don't forget, the first piece goes to Mrs. Sutherland.
You're just too gracious, Dorothy. You don't have to give me the first piece, you know.
Don't have to. Want to. I owe a whole lot to you.
Oh.
And I'm so pleased we got to see each other after all this time. 35 years, Eleanor.
35 years? That's how long it's been?
35 years next month. Oh. Marina was 5. Same age as her little Louisa is now.
Oh, yes. That was during the time Pastor Sutherland and I were living up in Rhode Island.
That's right. Randolph and I had 3 children then. Marina was our youngest.
Here you are, Mrs. Sutherland. Graham?
Thank you, Vin.
Sit down, dear. Ellen and I are just talking about the time our precious Marina got so sick.
Oh, yeah. Marina told me that story a long, long time ago, but I don't remember much of it.
Well, it's a good story. My husband, Pastor Sutherland, God bless his soul, used to tell that story to our Bible study groups as an example of the way God answers our prayers.
I can tell you it certainly made an effect on my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure what we went through with Marina helped me to be a better Christian.
Well, tell me, what did we go through with Marina, Mother?
When you were 5 and got so sick, dear, Eleanor and I were just remembering it.
Oh, yeah, that was a rather traumatic time for me, wasn't it? Here, honey, I brought you a napkin.
It was for all of us.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Oh,
come on,
welcome.
Sit down here beside me. Okay, Grammy, let's hear that story. I mean, it'll mean a lot more to me now that Louisa is 5.
This is perfect time to tell it, too, because it all started at another birthday party. Randolph and I had gone to Hartford, Connecticut to celebrate my mother's birthday. The day after, Marina got very sick.
I remember Grandma put me in her bed, so I felt like I was a real grown-up.
But you were in terrible pain, remember?
Oh, yeah.
We called the doctor. It was a small town. Everybody knew everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And this doctor couldn't put her finger on what was wrong. She was very embarrassed about it, too.
Oh, and of course, by this time, I was in agony, and I couldn't move, and I felt like my stomach was on fire.
I don't think you slept a wink that night. Next day, we called the doctor from the next town over. He asked a lot of questions and then said, take the youngster to the hospital immediately for exploratory surgery.
Are you ready for this? It was the peanuts.
The peanuts?
That's right. She had scoffed down 5 a jar of peanuts.
Oh, boy.
At least. But something was obviously not working before that night. The peanuts just brought it on, I guess.
That's when we bundled you into the car.
Oh, it was great. Mother lined the back seat with loads of pillows, and Dad carried me out and laid me very gently against them. You ought to try that now, honey.
What, sweetheart?
Carry me out to the car.
Oh, right. And what do we do when my back goes out?
Oh, we'll do the same thing they did that night. Mom and Dad drove me to the emergency room.
Okay.
Now listen, you two. I'm trying to tell a story here.
Sorry, Gran.
Sorry, Gran.
I'm still interested, Dorothy.
Yeah, go on, Mother.
Very well. We didn't know it at the time, but God had already made provisions at the hospital for us because the doctor on duty that day was Doc Radford, an expert, the best plastic surgeon around.
Which means he knew something about skin tissue.
He opened her up and found a whole great section of her intestines were blue and other parts of it burned black.
Oh, no.
Oh, heaven's sake.
Well, that's when we found out the peanuts had helped bring on what they call an intestiception or something like that. Well, it's when the small intestine sort of goes into the large intestine.
Which blocked the whole system.
Yeah.
He wanted to put it back in place, but the rest of the area was so weak he knew the stitches wouldn't hold.
So he took the intestines out and wrapped them in warm towels, to restore the circulation.
Oh,
then, wait a minute, he put them back in and sewed me up.
With the towels still wrapped around them?
Oh, Ben, he has the weirdest sense of humor. Oh, more cake, anyone?
No, not for me. Really. The story's killed my appetite.
Go on, Dorothy. Sorry, I didn't know all of this.
Well, they put Marina in a room with a hospital bed and a crib. They put her in the bed, so I had to sleep in the crib.
Oh,
I slept curled up for the next 2 weeks.
Oh.
Now, Ben, don't you make a joke about that either.
I wasn't going to say anything, Grandma.
Likely story. They loaded my little girl up with antibiotics and with tubes coming out everywhere.
Oh, dear.
They had her on every aid they could think of in those days. Then when she took a turn for the worse, they put her in an oxygen tank.
You must have been frightened to death, Marina.
Not literally, thank God. I was such a tiny little girl, though. I mean, I was smaller than Louisa.
Mm.
And because I was so small, my veins, which is how they were feeding me and giving me medicine, they started collapsing one by one until they came to the last remaining vein in my poor little foot.
Oh. That's when they decided that peritonitis had set in. The intestinal wall had broken, and all the poison was polluting her insides. But God was watching out for his child, because that day my husband came to visit. When he came into the room, he noticed the intravenous drip had stopped in one of the catheters.
Oh, mercy.
Turns out one of the nurses had forgotten to start it after changing it.
Marina was under that plastic tent, white as a sheet, almost comatose, for 3 or 4 days.
Really?
Two young interns came in and told me they were sorry, but they had done everything they could for her.
Oh.
I suddenly realized they were dead serious.
Sometimes when life or situations appear the darkest, our faith has to come through the strongest. Stay tuned. We'll be right back to our true story after this. God is alive in this story, and through Jesus, he can be alive in you. Say this simple prayer. Jesus, come into my heart.
When the interns left, I decided to take a little walk. Across the street was a diner I'd been getting takeout egg salad sandwiches from the last couple of weeks.
Oh.
I had never noticed it before, but right next door was a little red brick Catholic church.
Oh, I remember that.
I went in and sat down. I started talking quietly to God. I was bargaining with him, you know.
Oh,
if you'll bring Marina back to us, I'll be a better mother. I'll go to church more often and things like that. Of course, now I know better. But at the time, I was out of my mind with desperation.
I understand, Graham.
Even as I left the church, I was worried I hadn't truly reached God. I wasn't holy enough, didn't live a good enough life. And I got the idea to write Pastor Sutherland.
My husband had married Dorothy and Randolph.
They were living in Rhode Island. I borrowed some paper and an envelope from the nurses. I wrote him we were in desperate straits and asked him please to pray for Marina, who was motionless. That was Sunday afternoon. I mailed the letter. Then at noon on Tuesday, I happened to see one of her fingers move.
Oh,
I couldn't believe my eyes. Some minutes later, another finger moved. A little later, her hands. About an hour later, her eyes opened. Life was seeping back into my little girl.
And I remember waking up and seeing you, Mother, looking into my eyes with that big grin of yours from ear to ear. I felt a whole lot better because I knew I couldn't be too bad off if you were smiling at me like that.
I guess so. It was probably one of the happiest days of my life. There were little improvements day by day for a week. Then I got a letter from Eleanor and Pastor Sutherland.
I wrote to you at the hospital, remember?
You said, I received your letter at noon on Tuesday, and immediately brought Marina before the throne of grace.
Well, that's exactly the same time you saw Marina's fingers move, right?
You see, Dorothy had written urgent on the envelope, so we opened it first. We were accustomed to praying together at midday because there were often requests in the mail from people asking for our prayers. I'll never forget how happy we were to get Dorothy's second letter with the note from Marina in it.
Cool. I wrote you?
It was the sweetest thing. You drew a picture of a smiling sun rising over a mountain, smiling through the rain.
Probably got that from my mother's face.
Oh.
I told Marina that you two had prayed for her.
We simply added our prayers to yours, Dorothy.
She drew the picture when she got stronger.
I think even at that young age, I understood something special had happened to me. The nurses would come by my bed and say I was a very, very lucky kid. Even then, I knew it was more than luck. You know?
Boy, thanks for the story, Graham. I really feel blessed to have our kids doing as well as they are after hearing that.
Well, you have just wonderful kids. They're so joyous. And the two of you seem to have a pretty good time together, too.
Yes, we do. When Allison, our first, was born with a hearing loss, well, I worried maybe there was still something wrong with me. But as you can see, our other two are healthy as can be.
Well, Marina and I have learned that having fun and laughing a lot helps the kids as much as it does us, right?
Oh.
But from the beginning, Marina's attitude about life has always had a big influence on me.
What was that, Ben?
She just has a very close relationship with God, and it's hard to get her down, you know?
I'm so glad to know that, Marina.
Is it surprising? I mean, really, feeling God's grace in your life when you're only five, knowing that people want to pray for you when they haven't even met you, that has to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that experience was a big reason I've always had a strong faith in God.
That's right.
Mommy!
In here, Louisa.
Mommy, Timber ate my cake.
Oh, honey. Timber is our dog, Mrs. Sutherland.
Gathered.
Oh, sweetie, come sit in Mommy's lap. There are a few bites of mine left you can have. Oh, and then I'm sure Graham will have a big piece ready for you to take home.
Grammy sure will. Well, aren't you a lovely sight sitting there in your Mommy's lap? It makes your Grammy so happy to see her daughter holding her little girl like that. Just like I once did my little girl when she was your age.
I'll come sit in your lap when I'm through eating my cake, Graham.
Whenever you want to, Louisa, dear.
I love you, Grammy.
Well, isn't that a lovely thing to say?
Turn on the light. Let God show you the way. Give it up to Him each day. Walk in His light. He listens when you pray. Live it in God's hands today.
God is amazing, isn't he? He truly does watch out for his children. Here's a couple of questions I'd like to ask. Is God a fair-weather friend in your life? Do you only really talk to him when there's a crisis? In Luke 11:10, Jesus doesn't qualify God's help. He says, "For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened."